Hello, everybody, and welcome to the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. My name is Darren Goodridge. I'm joined tonight by Mr. Hayden Gleed.
Hi, everybody.
And we're here to take you through the episode of Ring of Honor TV that aired this week. This is the episode headlined by Jay Lethal taking on Silas Young, and you can hear all about it when we come back after this short message. And we're back. Yes, this is the .NET Ring of Honor podcast. We're here to talk about the first fresh piece of content we've had coming out of the All-Star Extravaganza pay-per-view 2 weeks ago. Of course, the last 2 weeks, we've had the Field of Honor replay shows, which were fine, but I'm very happy that we're now back on track with stuff that makes sense in the timeline.
Yeah, and it was a strong episode. I feel in the ring. I've got not a lot of issues, but quite strong issues with a few things that happened outside the ring. But I'm sure we'll get to that. How about that for a teaser for the rest of the podcast, Darren?
Exactly. We'll also be talking about some big news that kind of happened outside of Ring of Honor, but really does impact Ring of Honor quite a lot. When we get to the end of the show, even Hayden doesn't know we were going to talk about this. But
I'm just sat here just going, is it?
You'll see, Hayden. You'll see. Okay. Of course, this type of very professional journalism is commonplace here on ProWrestling.net. Just how commonplace, you can find out. All you have to do, pop over to ProWrestling.net, look for the membership sign-up options, and for as little as $7.50 a month, you get podcast reviews of every single American wrestling TV show that is on the air today. That's Raw, SmackDown, TNA, NXT, ROH, Lucha Underground, and much, much more, including mine and Hayden's review of Progress Wrestling as well over here in the UK. You also get access to the .NET flagship show, which is the .NET weekly show, where Jason and a guest, either one of the staffers, not Hayden, of course, but staffers, and sometimes special guests such as JR and Dutch Mantel will join Jason to run down the news of the week. He'll also let out a few little nuggets of news there that haven't been put anywhere else on the site. You can access, of course, all of our podcasts back into history of the site starting, and you also get access to the membership forum and ad-free access to the website as well for just $7.50 a month. Me and Hayden, wherever on All Access, tell you how great membership is. We used to be members before we were staff. And yes, we've even got people coming in because of mine and Hayden's great content.
And I do want to point out, because you do happen to say this quite a lot on the All Access side, it's not because Jason doesn't want me to be on there on .NET Weekly. It's just that our schedules don't mesh. That's the only reason, Darren.
Hayden Gleed, world champion of clutching at straws.
I've got many in my hand right now.
He has, and if you've got £6.10 in your hand, or $7.50 in your hand, you too can become a .NET member. That may be our greatest plug of all time.
I think it is, and to be quite honest, it sounds so rehearsed, but we never even talk about this beforehand. It's brilliant.
We're simply that good. Yes, Ring of Honor, let's get back on track. We opened the show with recaps of the Ladder War match that took place at All-Star Extravaganza, where the Young Bucks came out with the ROH Tag Championships. We then had the titles, and Kevin Kelly and Steve Corino introduced us to the show. We were in Lowell, Massachusetts tonight, and the Bullet Club came out first. This was basically the ROH wing of the Bullet Club coming out. Adam Cole, your ROH World Champion, the Young Bucks, your ROH Tag Champion, and Hangman Page and his needlessly long noose. Like, I know it's a noose that needs to, but, like, it's dragging on the floor. It looks so stupid.
Have you been staring intently on Adam Page's noose?
Always. Yeah, the Bullet Club made their way to the ring. They go in the ring, and Matt Jackson grabbed the microphone. They seem to have got over their aversion to letting the Young Bucks speak. Mm. Matt Jackson said they turned All-Star Extravaganza into Five-Star Extravaganza, pointing out the war that he and his brother Nick went through to win the ROH tag titles for the second time, and he called the Bucks the greatest tag team in the world and the greatest tag team in history. Adam Cole then grabbed the microphone and said it was time for story time with Adam Cole. He said at All-Star Extravaganza, the Bullet Club made a statement. He defeated Michael Elgin. The Young Bucks won the titles and proved that they were the best team in the world. And Adam Page took out Kyle O'Reilly in their match as well. He set a goal of winning the new six-man tag titles. They're coming very soon in ROH. He said the Bullet Club will win them. and not too shortly after, Adam Page will be the ROH TV champion, thus meaning that the Bullet Club control all the titles in Ring of Honor. When we have all the titles, we'll have all the power, and that will be too sweet.
Indeed.
I liked this introduction, but I felt like it was missing a little something. I felt it was missing either someone coming out in opposition to the Bullet Club, or it lacked them being a true heel faction.
Do you know what? That's pretty much exactly my feelings on it. I was expecting the next challenger or the next big challenger to come out and sort of verbally spar with Adam Cole and to sort of kickstart whatever program they were going to go with for Final Battle, because at that point, you know, we didn't know who you'd be facing coming up to that pay-per-view. Going back to the beginning, I did really like the fact that they showed the highlights of Ladder Wars. I know the pay-per-view had many good matches, but the Ladder Wars was essentially the main selling point why you'd go back and watch it at some point. It was a phenomenal sort of style of match. So I'm glad that they showed the highlights of that leading into the show. But yeah, I was exactly the same as you. I was trying to formulate the words that I was going to use, but you said it much better than I could. It just felt that there was something missing from sort of the beginning of the show with this promo.
I still really like the concept of it, of setting up the Bullet Club to be the big faction going into the end of the year shows, particularly Final Battle in December. You're setting up the Bullet Club to be the big, you know, endgame boss. But the problem is, of course, Adam Page doesn't have a title. I don't know why they couldn't have put the TV title on at this point, because Bobby Fish isn't really doing much with it. That really would have helped sell this faction as a real Four Horsemen-esque faction to be taken seriously. But that's someone not coming out to challenge the Bullet Club isn't actually too much of a problem. It was something I felt could have maybe improved this version of this segment.
Oh, yeah.
But I think the bigger problem is, it's fine if they were a true heel faction and they were showing to being strong, you know, in a bubble without anyone coming out to challenge that claim. That makes them look really strong. The problem is they're not a true heel faction. The Young Bucks are definitely baby faces. Adam Cole tends to get 50% cheers, 50% boos, because everyone likes doing the Adam Cole baby.
I hate doing it.
Oh, really? I see. I even left a gap there for you to do it. I'm very disappointed in you. So, yeah, everyone likes doing that. Everyone kind of likes Adam Cole. He can get heat, and everyone's into their feud with Kyle O'Reilly. I think everyone's behind Kyle O'Reilly. Mm-hmm. Put him there with somebody else, or maybe Jay Lethal. Put him there with somebody else. It's 50-50. Adam Page is actually the truest heel in the Bullet Club, because no one cheers for Adam Page.
Have you read my notes?
I'm sorry. I'm genuinely not, you know, reading your mind here, but that's what I'm saying. If they were a true heel faction, this would have gone down better. But I still liked it, and it still got a hit on my ROH Hit List, which you can go and read on ProWrestling.net right now.
And I will say one thing. I will say that Kevin Kelly did a good job of any claims that Adam Cole was making, of trying to rebuke them. At least they made that effort to sort of show that the overconfidence, or the promo was a sign of overconfidence as opposed to what is essentially the truth.
It looked like we were going to get an ROH Please Go to a House Show package, which we often get with every single ROH show. But this one was actually narrated. We were shown some house show footage from a previous event. They had an Honor Rumble, which is essentially the Royal Rumble, in which Silas Young earned himself a world title match. They said that early in the night he'd had a match with Jay Lethal. Those two then started number one and number two in the Honor Rumble. They ended up going the distance, and in a bit of a shock, Silas Young threw Jay Lethal out, and thus earned himself a shot at the ROH title at, well, it seemed like for a second they were setting up as a TV match, mm-hmm. or maybe another pay-per-view match. Turns out it's happening on a house show in Florida this weekend. We're recording this now on the 18th of October. It's happening on the weekend coming up, so the 22nd, I believe?
Yeah, anyway. It wasn't very clear about that, but yeah.
No, but also in that Honor Rumble, we had the ROH debut of Ball James, the former Ball Dempsey from NXT. It looks like he might be joining the ROH roster, because he's also going to have a match with Adam Cole in a Proving Ground match, which is kind of like a non-title match, in where if you beat the champion, you earn yourself a title shot as well. makes sense if they're doing shows in Florida, obviously, because of the NXT connection there. But yeah, it does seem like Bull James might be joining the ROH roster. Not the person I thought they would pick coming out of NXT. I thought he was TNA bound, and Ring of Honor would go more for, well, they're getting Cody Rhodes, but I thought they would have made a bigger play for Sandow instead of Bull James. But are you excited for the former Bull Dempsey coming to ROH?
It is an interesting sort of pick, as you said. It's with Bull Dempsey, he was always more about the gimmick. Well, towards the end, he was more about the gimmick than the actual wrestler. But saying that, he wasn't bad in the ring, you know, considering that he was made more of a comedy figure. He was pretty good in the ring, so I think it's more of a watch this space type of move as opposed to hating it or loving it.
The first 2 months he was in NXT on TV, where they gave a care about him, mm-hmm. he was actually coming across as a very good heel. He was cutting really, really good promos, one of which I can still remember to this day, where I can't remember who he was talking about, but the closing line was, "You're not going to need a doctor, you're going to need a priest," which is really, really good. But they when they took care of him, it looked like he might be an NXT title contender. I don't think he would have won it, but he would have been a good heel challenger for the month, or for however long they wanted to run the story for. Mm. Coming in as a babyface, I don't know, because as much as we both got a kick out of the ball fit character, he's very much died a quick death on NXT, and I expect it to die an even quicker death in ROH should they go that route. Bring him in as a heel, I think you might have something there. The first match of the night, we had War Machine come out first, and they're taking on Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. This is a feud that's been running for a long time. The commentators were trying to sell this as, right, we need a resolution. This needs to be the final one. These two teams need to move on from each other. One thing I need to point out, because this made me laugh. Hopefully I misheard it or Bobby Cruz got a little bit confused. But he said when Keith Lee and Shane Taylor made their way to the ring, weighing in at 520 pounds combined. There is no way, unless physics has gone bonkers, that two men of the size of Keith Lee and Shane Taylor weigh in at 520 pounds. That is, I know Shane Taylor isn't the tallest of dudes, but there's no way they are anything less than 600 pounds.
I did actually miss that. And just to put it in context for you, Darren, and this is not going to be the best sort of podcast moment ever, but me and you met up. We've gone to football. We've gone to wrestling. It would essentially be two of me.
Right, but that
is about 500 odd pounds. So, and I'm not a big guy. I'm big, but not big.
You're not this big.
No, exactly.
Well, no way, shape, or form. There is no way that these two dudes combined match 1999 Big Show. That's not a thing that's happened, right? So, no, Bobby Cruz got confused, or physics has gone mental, or someone's lying about how much they weigh.
I think it's the latter.
Probably. Right, near the end, because this is what we do on the ROH podcast, we skip right to the good bit. We had power moves from all four guys. Lee and Taylor got the upper hand with a double clothesline, and Hanson was shown to be bleeding. Once Rowe got back into the ring, though, War Machine managed to hit a double-team move, which is a power slam. War Machine set up and hit Fallout on Shane Taylor, but he kicked out for a big shock. I think this is the first time we've ever seen Fallout kicked out of.
Yeah.
Hanson was pulled from the ring, and then Taylor and Lee hit their double-team move, which is a double-team powerbomb, on Rowe. Rowe also kicked out of the double-team move, another big shock. Both teams then went for big splashes, all of which were missed, including a moonsault from Keith Lee. That was incredible. But yeah, he missed this moonsault, and Rowe took advantage by hitting a Canadian destroyer, again, insane, for the win. Quickly, post-match, Taylor hit the ring with a chair again and took out Hanson and Rowe before shouting at Rowe whilst the referees tried to get him out of the ring. What were your thoughts on this match, Ian? This is the only miss on the show for me, but I'll explain why in a minute.
Okay. Well, the first things first, and it's not ROH's fault, but because we've recently watched War Machine against London Riots for a progress show, it kind of reminded me of that very much so in terms of the battling all around and some of the spots they were hitting and things like that. So again, it's not ROH's fault, but it does seem to be a bit of a formula of War Machine these days. I thought they worked well in this setting because it was it turned into a bloody brawl. And there was, again, as you said, there was some really impressive spots. I loved the Canadian Destroyer as the finish. I haven't seen that for a while, so I really enjoyed that. And it felt that the match was a good way to finish the feud, with War Machine coming out on top after what happened in their last match. But the question that I had following this match is, do they really need to carry it on? You know, what can they do to top this? You know, they've gradually turned up the intensity of this feud every match that they've had, but they've got to a point now where the only level they can go up really is like a Foley Funk exploding ring match, which I am in no way advocating, don't get me wrong, but unless they do something like that, it's just going to feel like a repeat. So I, to be honest, although I was entertained by the match, I'm not going to say it was a good match, but I was entertained by the match. It just, the end left a bad taste in my mouth, simply because I just don't know where they go from here to not make it feel like it's going to be repetitive.
I think the miss I gave it was not necessarily based on the match, because obviously there was some great athleticism here. Mm-hmm. And the Canadian Destroyer goes in the same category as like the Lethal Injection. Great looking move, stupid as hell to think of it. Give it up more than 10 seconds forward and it becomes absurd.
Yeah.
But no, this was more of a miss for booking, because they've had quite a few opportunities now to book this as a pay-per-view match, a straightforward pay-per-view match, and they've neglected to do so. And so then you come to free TV in the opening match, and you have the commentators trying to sell me that this is it for the feud. I didn't buy it for a second. So I never really brought in. And then to make matters worse, not only did it not end, because obviously Taylor attacking them with a chair means this is going to go on again. And I think their matches have been fine, but they've never been fantastic. Enough so I'm like, oh yes, please carry this feud on. The really annoying thing is they'd now given away Taylor and Lee's first loss, and it didn't come with any finality. Yeah. You know what I mean? That should have been the end for them, as War Machine beating them. Not necessarily even that, because obviously Shane Taylor and Keith Lee are the new team. They've got some momentum, they're looking good as monster heels, so maybe the feud doesn't even need to end with those losing. But if you're going to have them lose, it needs to be on pay-per-view, it needs to be a big deal, and it needs to be hyped for another thing, because we had to, obviously, because of the two pre-recorded shows, we had no hype for this whatsoever.
Yeah.
And it needs to be final. It needs to be the last thing that happened if that's how you're going to end the feud. I don't like it as a means to carry on the feud. Maybe it squares it up in terms of, you know, matches won by both teams, but I didn't really care about that. I was fine with Keith Lee and Shane Taylor destroying War Machine until it was time for War Machine to avenge that loss in a big way, to gain something. I don't think anybody gained anything from this.
No, and as I said, it just feels now that it's dragging on, which is not what you want to be feeling at the end of a feud, which, you know, although hasn't really grabbed me, but it has been quite intense, and it has been given some storyline love. So, you know, it just feels now that it's going to just drag on.
Indeed it does. Right, we went backstage where Caprice Coleman was saying that the cabinet has been winning state after state, and they were now closing in on being elected as the new six-man tag title champions. I know. You know what? This wasn't the worst Caprice Coleman cabinet promo we've seen. They're getting slightly more. The pun's obvious because they're in election season, Hayden. But yeah, we went back to the arena where the kind of ramshackle team of Jason Kincaid, Leon St. Giovanni, and Shaheem Ali came out. Kevin Kelly took the time to say that all three of these were, of course, in the Top Prospect Tournament 2016. And that's where they kind of bonded, and that's why they formed this team. This is an opening round match for the six-man tag titles, and they are up against the cabinet. One little cute thing that happened was that the cabinet decided to take a knee during the Code of Honor. That was quite cute.
The one thing I will say about the cabinet, and I will give them props for this, is that they seem to be the only faction who are actually going for real heel heat in the whole of ROH. Which, you know, we talk about this on a regular basis in terms of the Bullet Club, etc. So I will give them some props for the fact that they do stay true to their characters and they do act like they want to be hated.
See, I don't know if you can claim it's true heel heat because they're trying to be funny at the same time. for me, True Heel Heat is devoid of any comedy. But I can see what you mean. They're sticking to their task. They're not trying to be liked necessarily.
Yeah, I think that's a better way of putting it.
But yeah. So they took a knee a few more times during the match. It got progressively less cute and smart. But yeah, during the break, sorry, just before we talk about the end of this match, during the break, I'm so glad these are back. We had Mark Briscoe doing his flogging section that he usually does around the major holidays. We can't wait for December where we have one of these each week. It's going to be magical. But yeah, Mark Briscoe was here to sell some ROH stuff for Halloween. He was interrupted by Dalton Castle, who came in dressed as Mark Briscoe, saying he wanted to be one of them boys. At this point, Mark Briscoe just disappeared out of sight below the table. And when he popped back up, he was then dressed in the peacock max and said, "I want to be one of the boys." They then wished us both a happy Halloween. This was magical.
I heard you squeal from all the way down here, 200 miles away.
I was like, two of my favorite Ring of Honor people. In terms of personality, probably my favorite two ROH people, just having a great whole time. Oh my God, the Christmas ones are going to be out of it. As long as they keep Delirious away from everything, this is going to be a wonderful one. Quick aside, right? You know they're doing these action figure things now for Ring of Honor?
Yes.
And they got to their second series of them.
Yeah.
After the first season was like the Briscoes, Kevin Steen and Adam Cole.
Yeah, it was that whole rumor that the Kevin Steen action figure was the reason why WWE were punishing Kevin Owens or something like that. There was that rumor going around.
Some ridiculousness. But then they got to season two and they've got Michael Elgin and Jay Lethal, I think, is one of them. But one of them is Delirious. Delirious doesn't wrestle on Ring of Honor TV, and nor has he regularly for like the entire time I've been watching it. He's maybe wrestled two matches, both of which have been on Japan, New Japan versus ROH shows where he's taking on Gedo, and that's it. Why? Hunter Johnson's got a big goddamn ego.
Well, I think he wrestles more on the house show circuit, because he certainly wrestled in that show that we went to see with the PCW. He was teaming with Paul London. So I suppose he does it on the house show. But yeah, in terms of sort of action figures, you'd think that he'd be in like one of the last waves as opposed to the second wave.
Ridiculousness. Right, back to the match. Giovanni and Ali nearly put Kenny King away with a Russian leg sweep and complete shot combo. Ali actually got a pretty good run of momentum near the end off of a hot tag. They set up Titus in a tree of road position, and then he, Giovanni, and Jason Kincaid did a three-way coast-to-coast dropkick.
Awesome.
That was a very nice spot there. Giovanni set up for a Phoenix splash, but whilst Kincaid and Ali were pulled from the ring, he went for the Phoenix splash. Vet Titus managed to move out the way, and the cabinet all hit a quick flurry of moves, ending in the sky splitter from Caprice Coleman for the win, and the cabinet are advancing into the second round, where they'll meet the winner of the match that's coming up in the next few weeks, which is going to be the Bullet Club versus the newly formed Kingdom. I gave this a hit, basically because I like the ending sequence so much, and whilst they're still the cabinet, I'm appreciative that ROH is at least trying to put some momentum behind them. I expect it to stop in the second round, because I think either the Bullet Club or Kingdom, whoever wins that match, will be advancing there. But they're at least trying with the cabinet.
Yeah, and I will say that I was thoroughly entertained by this match. The cabinet, I'm not down with it at all. We'll talk about that in a second. But the three baby faces, shall we say, all impressed me. I've been a big fan of Jason Kincaid since we saw him on ROH TV. I think it was earlier this year, and I've looked up a few videos of him, and I do really rate him as an innovative. I can never say that word, Darren. Innovative wrestler. So I've got great respect for him, and the other two impressed me as well. And I just think that they've definitely got great potential, especially with the two younger ones. And hopefully ROH will do right by them and give them a bit of personality, so they're not just entertaining high flyers going forward. With the cabinet, and I'm sure it was when we had a conversation before, and I'm sure you asked the question as well. Where exactly do they go with the gimmick after the American elections?
Well, that's a very good point, but I think none of the men were really doing anything mm-hmm. at the time they put this together. So I think just riding that wave of momentum, which will be going all the way till January when whoever wins is inaugurated, that's fine. They can then figure out what they want to do, probably with Rhett Titus and Kenny King. There's obviously more stocking them as a tag team than there probably is in Caprice Coleman, although Caprice Coleman's been the one that's impressed me the most, mainly because whilst he's occasionally a bit annoying, he's all in on this gimmick. He's not holding back. He is not half-hearting this at all. He is all in, which is always nice to see from a wrestler.
Yeah, I'm just not impressed with what he's actually doing. And I don't mean to be disrespectful. I'm sorry, Darren. I don't know where it is about Caprice Coleman. I just can't get behind it. I really can't put into words what I think of Caprice Coleman.
Did he not make you laugh with his high-pitched screaming at whoever he was stomping in the corner?
No.
Okay. No. We'll move on to a different battle. It's main event time. Now, Silas Young came out first, and then Jay Lethal came out to a pretty good pop. I will say the crowd were pretty dead tonight. Especially in the first match, they did not care about War Machine versus Shane Taylor and Keith Lee at all, but they did give a very nice pop for Jay Lethal. To send us into the main event for the night, Jay Lethal taking on Silas Young. About halfway through, Adam Cole joined commentary. He spent the entirety of the match kind of lambasting Steve Corino for apparently no reason. They used to have like a playful banter where Adam Cole would be not mean to Steve Corino, but he would tend to get coffee and it was more fun to listen to. This was really awkward.
I think it was more, they didn't make this particularly clear, and especially, with us watching it and trying to make notes and all that. I think it was more because Steve Corino entered the Honor Battle, or the Honor Rumble, sorry. Adam Cole saw it as a disrespectful move to try and get a title shot against him or something like that. And as you said, he just spent far too much time going on about it.
It really did. It started becoming distracting at one point, and unfortunately it was distracting us from what was actually a really good match, I felt. Near the end, Adam Cole announced that he wanted to... before we get to that, I don't know where this came from. It's kind of just thrown in there. Adam Cole announced he's going to be facing Kyle O'Reilly in the final battle.
Mm-hmm.
They just announced the main event for their biggest pay-per-view of the year in an offhand comment on commentary that didn't include graphics or any type of build-up.
Uh-huh.
We all expected it to be that, but what the hell? Like, what the act? You don't do... The WrestleMania main event wouldn't be, flippantly thrown out there, unannounced, on commentary with no fanfare and no follow-up.
But, Darren, I'm sure everybody goes to their website and everybody reads everything that they put on the website and everything that they put on YouTube. Come on.
Oh, my bad. My apologies. I forgot. We're one of the minority that don't, listen to everything that ROH puts out. But still, have some fanfare about it. Why announce it this far out anyway? It's a while away yet. We've still got 2.5 months to get there. And I realise you want to start building up already, but the storyline's already there. It's not going to take, several weeks to really get momentum behind it. They could have had the attack that happens later on, which we'll get to in a second, mm-hmm. and gone from there next week.
I do have a rant to me after we talk about the aftermath of the match.
I am excited. Right, let's get to that then. Lethal called for the final injection, but Young dodged out the way and hit a big breaker and eventually hit a cutter as well. This left both men on the ramp. At this point, Adam Cole announced he wanted to have a closer look at the match. But he only made it halfway down the ramp before Kyle O'Reilly came out, walked up behind him and started attacking Adam Cole. Again, big pop for this. Kyle O'Reilly easily got the better of the battle. He sat Adam Cole on a chair at ringside. He jumped onto the apron just as back in the ring, Silas Young hit his rolling fireman carry to set up for his stupid headstand moonsault that he shouldn't be doing. With Kyle O'Reilly there, Silas Young got a bit distracted. He shoved Kyle O'Reilly. This allowed enough time for Jay Lethal to recover, and he rolled up Silas Young for the 1-2-3. Just a quick aside, after the match, all four men started brawling. Lethal and... So there was a stare down between Adam Cole and Silas Young, two heels, essentially, and they were frantically plugging the Florida house shows. I don't know if they just got appalling ticket sales, they need to do this for them, but it felt like they were setting up a match for next week on TV. And unless I point out, we don't know what's happening on next week's TV mm-hmm. at all. They didn't bother to tell us anything that's happening. If they did, I missed it. So odd tactic there, but yeah, they had that stare down. Kyle O'Reilly then attacked Adam Cole, left him lying with a brainbuster as Silas Young left up the ramp with the ROH title, and this brought ROH to a close. Rant away, Hayden.
Well, first of all, I'll talk about the positives. As you said, the action in the ring between Silas Young and Jay Lethal was good, considering, you know, they're two well-established characters. Their action was crisp, and it was within the confines of their characters. It was great, apart from obviously the attempt at Silas Young doing his finisher, which any real man wouldn't really do, but that's a rant for another day. I do like the fact that everyone seems to be gunning for Adam Cole and the title. It does give a bit more prestige to the actual title. But O'Reilly against Cole, they did try and put a bit of heat on this at the end of the match, but I really, really don't think it's enough at this point, considering the fact that they had this story on a plate for them, but they just seemed to be breezing through it, expecting people to want to see these two tear each other apart without really telling the backstory, without giving newer fans the reason why this is such a big match. Correct me if I'm wrong, Darren, but if O'Reilly wins, won't this be his first world title victory?
It will.
Then tell me that story. Let me go on the journey with him. Show me all the times that he's been this close to winning, but being stopped by Adam Cole. And let me hear from him why it's so important to him. You know, don't just throw this match out as if it doesn't matter on a commentary on the main event of a random TV show, and then just have them just tap each other and have a little battle in the ring. I want the story. I don't want this. I know this is only night one, but I'm trying to give him a bit of slack for that reason. But so far, I'm just unimpressed and uninspired by what I've seen so far.
I think had they not announced that was the final battle main event already, mm-hmm. I think I'd be more forgiving, because I think then, you know, had they had this attack and we didn't know that was the match, we knew it was the match, but we didn't, let's just say, I think then they could tell that story going forward and then announce the match, because the problem here was they were essentially trying to hype three title matches at the same time. You have the one at the house shows over the weekend with Silas Young. You then have Jay Lethal's rematch in London when they're on the Reach for the Sky tour in November, which is a month away. And then 2 months on from that, we'll have Final Battle. So they really didn't need to start the engine going with the Kyle O'Reilly one. Again, considering how much history they have, you could build to that match. Hopefully they give it the full 6-week treatment. Mm-hmm. That's what I want, to really build up like they did with Jay Lethal and Adam Cole. Give it a really long build-up. They don't need to start it 2 months out, especially with all these, you know, other things they have to get done first. Two quick video packages showing all the times Adam Cole schooled over Kyle O'Reilly. An intense beatdown, a pull-apart brawl. That's how you start it in, say, 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, a little close to the date. I'm with you. I don't maybe feel as strongly as you do. I don't have that level of rant in me. But yeah, this is poorly handled. But before we move on to the next topic, I will point out, this is a really, really good match. I was enjoying the hell out of this, mm-hmm. and it was cut tragically short. I, if it had gone to a no contest, I think I would have understood more, because then obviously you're protecting all three of your challengers. Having Silas Young go down, if you're desperate to sell tickets to your house show this weekend, why then have the challenger pinned clean? I know there's a bit of a distraction, but he's still lost clean, which is strange to say the least. But yeah,
I do just want to say one quick thing about the O'Reilly Cole thing. The only reason I'm so worked up about it is because of the history of ROH in terms of how they build to these big matches, and the fact that it was just thrown out by Adam Cole like it didn't really matter, like he wasn't really caring about it, and then the weak sort of brawl between them, it just worries me. It terrifies me that they're going to mess this up.
I can see where you're coming from, but I hope they've got such a good story there to tell. They'd actually have to put effort in to tell it badly. I think at this point they'd actually have to put concerted effort into making it bad. That I'm confident that come Final Battle we'll be sufficiently hyped, and I will buy my first ROH pay-per-view in probably a year.
You realize we flipped our personalities or our opinions. Usually I'm the one who's being positive about the possibility of ROH building on a good story, and you're the one who's always negative. So, for well, once, we swapped over.
I think it's because when they're trying to tell a story from scratch, or something like that, they always inevitably fail. When they have something this good, I have to believe there's anybody competent, just competent. That's all you'll need for this. And Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly will be able to do the rest if you just give them the time of day. I think this will be fine. I have faith in this. It's probably misplaced faith. And come Final Battle, there will be a rant of, you know, magnitudes the world have not seen before. But we will cross that bridge when we get to Final Battle in about 2 months' time. Right, quickly, something came up. I believe it was actually last week, but I don't think we talked about it on the ROH show last week. Of course, the rumours are rampant that WWE is trying to buy TNA's video library. The rumours have gone quiet because of all the other hillbilly stuff happening in TNA right now. But there was a room, a questionnaire that was circulated, that was sent out to certain people in the wrestling community. And it showed different tier prices for the WWE network, saying you pay this entry price and you'll be able to see, you know, all the on-demand content, but nothing like NXT, maybe not the pay-per-views. Then you have your standard entry, which is what we currently have now, which is pay-per-views, NXT, Cruiserweight Classic, all the on-demand stuff. Great. Then there was a third tier. Well, it might have been a fourth tier, but yeah, there was a higher price tier that said you get all that great stuff and also independent wrestling content from the likes of TNA and Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor was actually named in the questionnaire. Now, that got me thinking. I'm going to posit this to you, Hayden.
Okay.
How are we talking thumbs up or thumbs down should ROH content come to the WWE Network? Instead of having to watch it through Fight.tv, the app thing, on my little tiny iPhone, or wait a week, 2 weeks, a month, a year for the ROH website to put their TV show up correctly. Would you be okay if that partnership started up and the ROH content started appearing on the WWE Network?
To answer that question, yes, I would. I'd be quite excited by it, mostly because I'm a sucker for sort of origin stories, and if you're going to tell the story of Samoa Joe, or if you want to tell story of, well, a lot of talent, Seth Rollins, Cesaro, etc., then you've got all the available library to you then, and I would be salivating at that prospect of being having a full story told with revised history, probably, but that's by the by. The only thing I would say about this story is I think it might have been blown out of proportion. Not obviously not by yourself, Darren, but if I remember rightly, I haven't actually personally seen the questionnaire in question. But I think it was more a case of they were just saying, for example, as opposed to saying including, I think they were saying more, for example, TNA or ROH. And for me, that sort of wording seems to imply that they were just trying to give examples as opposed to, we are going to go after TNA library, and we are going to go after ROH's library. So I'm more skeptical in terms of, and because of that, I'm sort of not really thinking that far ahead in terms of, well, potentially ROH could be on the network, or TNA could be on the network, or Evolve could be on the network, etc. I read it from what I've seen as they were giving an example to the reader or the person answering the question, so that they'd have an idea of what they were talking about by that question.
See, I've just had a look at the survey. It does indeed say such as Ring of Honor and TNA, but let's just throw out the kind of speculation of would this happen?
Yeah,
or could this happen? Is probably the better
fantasy
way to phrase
booking,
that.
Shall we say?
I think I would put, I'm for it and against it almost equally, if not leaning slightly on the positives, because I think Ring of Honor having that type of partnership legitimizes them. You know what I mean? That gives them probably a very good, solid source of income, always great for independent wrestling shows. But I think it would give them some level of autonomy also, as like, they're not going to be like, you know, NXT, for example. They're not going to become NXT 2. Where you know, WWE is sending them guys necessarily, but if the WWE is like, right, we don't want to make this WWE network, we want to make this the wrestling network.
Yeah.
That's a great way to go about it. Plus then, HD Ring of Honor in a convenient place, in a timely fashion. My God, that would be an amazing thing. That's something, you know what I mean? That's something that Ring of Honor, that's always been their biggest downfall. They don't have the many and many various pitfalls that TNA do. They managed to avoid a lot of them. But in terms of professionalism, the least you can say about TNA is they get their TV shows out regularly, on time, looking good. Ring of Honor, not always the case. That can be solved by WWE. WWE won't stand for that. They won't stand for, well, it might turn up on a Wednesday, but it might turn up on a Thursday. It could be 2 weeks from today. It could be not at all. They won't stand for that. There will be a time and a place for you to sit down and watch your Ring of Honor TV. It then can also create a bit of a closer partnership in terms of, well, we want to take this talent from Ring of Honor. We like the look of Dalton Castle, if you fancy booking. You know, so-and-so... Yeah. But here's some money, go and recruit some more people from the indie scene. We want you to keep afloat. We want you to keep producing great matches for our network. I think it benefits everybody. I would worry a bit that then Ring of Honor would become a kind of pseudo-developmental talent, and there would be a bit of pressure from up high, you know, don't do this content, do this content.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think the positives outweigh the negatives, at least from my point of view. My almost selfish point of view, I would be all for it.
It does scare me, the potential of one company essentially running everything. Yeah, a proper monopoly. It does that.
True.
That does scare me. I totally see what you're saying in terms of the positives. I'm with you on that front. And if it could truly stay independent, but yet broadcast on a wrestling network, as you said. Then yes, I would be all for that. It does scare me with that, and we can probably get into this when we do our members audio for the progress. But for me, it's more likely that you're likely to get things like Progress Wrestling on the network for the higher tier and different companies from all around the world. As far as that question is concerned, I probably think that's what they had more in mind. Unfortunately, people listening to this will probably have to get a membership to .net to hear us discuss that further.
Yes, they will. And how can they do that, Hayden?
They can go to the main page of ProWrestling.net, go to the sign-up area. I think it's in the top right. And put in your details, and you'll be a member straight away. You'll have all the access to the audio, every single thing that we've ever done over the last, what is it now, 6 or 7 years? All the audios for every American TV show, and everything that Darren said earlier on.
Lots of opportunities, lots of things to go and do there over on ProWrestling.net. Plug away, Hayden.
As usual, you can find me on Twitter at Hayden Gleeds, and that's it for me this week. Unfortunately, I'm just recovering after a really, really nasty cold, so I'm still getting everything back on track, and I've still got a certain big show to watch for me and Darren's next big audio. So I'm going to be concentrating on that over the next couple of days.
Wonderful. You can follow me on Twitter at The Guthridge. You can go check out my other website, FoulEntertainment.com. That's Foul spelt.
F-O-U-L entertainment.com.
Well then, yes, you can go over there right now. We have the latest episode of our Pokemon podcast up there now. We have our Luke Cage review up there also as well. The demo for Sun and Moon, Pokemon Sun and Moon, drops today, so we will have a review of that coming up probably next week when we've had time to digest it and to talk about all the leaks that have come from that. We will have lots of other content over there for you to go and enjoy. That's FoulEntertainment.com. We will be back next week on the .NET membership side of things with the ROH audio. We'll also be getting round to our Progress show, the review of the Bigger Room. We're going to need a Bigger Room Again show, which of course Progress is biggest ever show. We'll be getting to that very, 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 very as soon as Hayden gets around to it. Very, very, very soon. And yes, check back to ProWrestling.net when you can see that. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all next week.